Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We're ready for war! We're ready for war! We're ready for war!
We're ready for what?
We're ready for war!
We're ready for what?
We're ready for war!
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 All right, we ready for war. We ready for war. Here's my first comment about Ferguson. Revolutions are started by smart people, like George Soros, but they're always finished by smarter people. Never forget what I just said to you. Welcome to the Savage Nation. We're not going to talk about the Trump-Kelly feud. It's been done already. It's over. Leave it alone. Let it go. Not interested. Let's move on to the civil war that Obama has started in the United States of America with the man who put him in the White House, George Soros, funding the Ferguson protests. And I have evidence. I have evidence, not just hearsay evidence. We have hard evidence that George Soros has funded the Ferguson protests, hoping to spur civil action. The article was written by a journalist, Kelly Riddell of the Washington Times, who will join us shortly on the Savage Nation. When I tell you how much money this money trader, George Soros, has pumped into the gutters of Ferguson to make sure the city burns, you'll be shocked that the federal government has not stopped in to stop him. Well, you won't be shocked to realize that the federal government and George Soros are frankly one and the same. And she writes this. There's a solitary man at the financial center of the Ferguson protest movement. No, it's not victim Michael Brown or Officer Darren Wilson. It's not even the Reverend, Reverend Al Sharpton. No, it's liberal billionaire George Soros, who has built a business empire that dominates across the ocean in Europe while forging a political machine powered by nonprofit organizations, foundations, that impacts American politics and policy, not unlike what Soros did with MoveOn.org. Mr. Soros spurred the Ferguson protest movement through years of funding and mobilizing groups across the U.S. According to interviews she did with key players and financial records reviewed by the Washington Times. Now, here's a shocker for those of you who think that these protests are just by oppressed minorities and concerned progressives. No, my friends, it's much worse than that. In all, George Soros gave at least $33 million in 1 year, $33 million, to support already established groups that embolden the grassroots on-the-ground activists in Ferguson, according to the most recent tax filings of his so-called nonprofit Open Society Foundations. I can read on, but you can read on. George Soros funds the Ferguson protests, hopes to spur civil action. No strings attached. No strings attached. There's much more that I will divulge on the Savage Nation. If you think the Ferguson protests, where they're calling for civil war, wanting to kill white cops, is happening spontaneously, you are mistaken, my friend. So here's the question of the day. What is Soros' motivation for stirring up all this unrest, not only in Ferguson, but all over the country, and frankly, all over the world? What does he hope to gain? Well, let's speculate, and it's pure speculation. We don't know what a billionaire, trillionaire like him thinks, so we can only guess. Why would a man who allegedly survived the Holocaust and is welcomed into the United States of America as an immigrant, where he makes his fortune, why would he do this to the country? What would he hope to gain by causing unrest, by funding Ferguson protests? With an out chanting, we're ready for war, we're ready for war, we're ready for war. What would he gain? Well, unless he's insane, you have to think he's doing this for a reason. And for a man like Soros, it's always money. He's a businessman, pure and simple, and a left-wing social activist. But those are usually sister beliefs or functions. Never forget for 1 minute that most people who are social activists are in it for the money. Never forget that. whether it's the vermin in the streets who are protesting or collecting a check from the rich liberal billionaires. That's their pay. Their pay is to protest. Remember we used to call them rent-a-mob? It's always about the money. So since we can assume that Soros is funding $33 million in a year for these protests in Ferguson, he wants to make some money off it. So as I speak about this, there's only one conclusion I can come to, and perhaps my reasoning is faulty. Maybe I can't think as clearly as some of the social activists in Ferguson. But my logic would lead me to believe that since he's a money trader who almost broke the British pound by shorting it, he also did it to the Malaysian pound, provoking the first outburst of anti-Semitism in Malaysia's modern history by almost breaking the Malaysian currency, that he wants to destroy the United States currency because he shorted it and he's betting against it. That would be one theory. Again, it's only a theory. After all, I have no power. I have only my ability to ask, analyze, and give you my opinions. Since that's still legal in Obama's America, I'll give you my opinion. He wants to debase the American dollar, either because he shorted the American dollar in a big way, or because he went long on another currency that's now collapsing. And the only way he can bring down the American dollar is by causing social unrest. If you do that, why, the dollar collapses, doesn't it? If you have a revolution or a civil war, it's bad for the currency. And who benefits? Why, the very same people who've benefited from most revolutions. Now, if I could control it, I'd play Sympathy for the Devil by the Rolling Stones, which we should search for, because I think Mick Jagger must have written that song thinking of individuals like this in the shadows of his mind. If you get a comment on any of this, go ahead. Make my day. 855-407-282. Again, the lead story is... Lead story is George Soros funds the Ferguson protests where they're screaming, we're ready for war, we're ready for war, we're ready for war. And I've asked you, why is he doing it? Joining us will be Kelly Riddell of the Washington Times, who shows you the names of the groups that he has funded. Black Lives Matter. Who do you think funded it? You don't know who funded that? You don't know who funded that? Well, a hashtag was developed after the killing of Trayvon Martin in Florida called Black Lives Matter and helped promote it on DPA's news feeds. Ms. Tometi runs the Black Alliance for Just Immigration, a group to which George Soros gave $100,000 in 2011, according to the most recent of his foundation's tax filings. Shall I go on? Civil rights organizations were once for peace. It seems now they're for civil war. From civil rights to civil war in one generation. That's another little essay, something you could read about in my forthcoming mega bestseller called Government Zero. You'll find out who the real government is. You'll find out that it's not the Dems and the Republicans. You'll find out who the shadow government really is once you get your hands on Government Zero, which will be out in October. 855-407-282. KSFO, Colin, you're the first up. What's on your mind today, my friend?
Hey, I believe George Soros has been doing this for years, decades, if not...
Yeah, well, we know that. We know there's nothing new in what you say. We know that. So what else is new?
Well, he's the whole progressive idea. He wants to make the American society culture implode. He wants to do...
All right, that's the issue, is why would George Soros, an alleged survivor of Hitler's Holocaust, come to a country which welcomes him with open arms, and he makes billions of dollars? Why does he do this to this country?
He must have developed some kind of mental disorder, because something happened along the way.
Well, now we're talking. In my opinion, there's mental disorder here. There's something wrong here. It's about profit and mental disorder. And a little later on, and I don't mean in a comedic way, I'm going to prove to you that liberalism is in fact a mental disorder. I think I have the evidence now in forms of the diets that they put themselves on. It's creating a vast epidemic of mental deficiency. Wait until you hear what I have to tell you about the importance of carbohydrates in human evolution and in the paleo diet. And why these extreme diets that the progressives seem to thrive on in their own mind has produced an entire generation of mental incompetence. You heard me. They are deficient in many nutrients that are required for the proper functioning of a brain. And I'm not giving them a pass just because they're on a bad diet. Don't get me wrong. But it explains my thesis that liberalism is a mental disorder. It may be related to the diet. We know about the drugs. We know the drugs have screwed them up. But did you know that these deficient diets, vegan, schmegan, gluten-free, schmuten-free, hooten-free, they don't know what they're talking about. They have no idea what they're doing. No idea whatsoever what they're doing to their brains. The brains need certain nutrients to function. I don't want to, you know, go into a sidetrack here for the whole show, but since my knowledge is vast and runs into many areas, the knowledge overlaps. I'm going to give you one example. I'll give you one little example. If you were to look at the diet of most of the white protesters in Ferguson, those who are busting crossing state lines to commit a felony, which is crossing state lines to promote a riot, which is a federal violation, by the way. If we had a legitimate federal government, which we do not have, we have a rogue federal government, a rogue sorority destroying America. If we had a legitimate sorority running America, well, let's say a fraternity of men who cared about America, they would arrest all those who cross state lines to provoke a riot, whether it be in Ferguson or in Baltimore. But if you were to analyze the diet primarily of the white protesters, the ragtag armies of the left, and you looked at what they're eating, you will understand that they are mentally disordered, not solely because of their politics, but also likely because of the drugs they're on and the foods that they're not eating, the nutrients that they are lacking. And I'll give you examples of it later on the Savage Nation. This is the one and only Savage Nation. We're talking about Ferguson, the riots, they're ready for war. And they're being funded by George Soros. There's a side story. Heavily armed Oath Keepers are in Ferguson. They've arrived with their own weapons and body armor to defend persons and property from the rabble in the gutters. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, you get the picture. The street rabble. The street rabble are trying to burn the city down like they did in Baltimore. And we disclosed in the Savage Nation from an article in Washington Times that these street rats are not spontaneous. They're funded by George Soros through numerous communist front groups who want to bring America to its knees. And what's disgusting about this is how the media continues to report as if this guy Brown, who was killed, was innocent and just shot by a white officer. You see two juries. And the Federal Justice Department found Officer Wilson innocent, not guilty of any crime. And yet President Obama, Eric Holder, Al Sharpton, and other rabble-rousers falsely built up the hands-up, don't-shoot movement and made it into a national uprising. They have provoked racism. They have provoked division in this nation. I think the protesters should be marking this anniversary by apologizing to the businesses they looted and burned last year, and apologizing to all the people that they hurt last year, many of which were owned by black people, by the way. And another point, the Oath Keepers who are in the streets to try and keep order are not anti-government. They are former military, law enforcement, first responders, and civilians who have the guts to take care of the streets of America because the police have been neutralized by the communist left in and out of the White House. Oath Keepers do not wish any harm to our government. They do not preach insurrection. They're not chanting, "We're ready for war, we're ready for war, we're ready for war." Oath Keepers are law-abiding American citizens. They're American heroes. Unbelievable to me. I would believe that Martin Luther King Jr. and other true civil rights leaders would be rolling over in their graves when they see how their movements have been hijacked by people like this. The news article says, protesters mark the one-year anniversary of the killing of an unarmed black teen by police. Shame, I would say shame on Reuters, but I've come to expect nothing less from the far left in the media. They twist everything to match their own agenda. The fact of the matter is, this is a nightmare. And there was an article about this last year by Aaron Klein, where he proved that the top Occupy organizer was the one who trained the Ferguson protesters. The veteran street agitator, Lisa Fithian, did this. She has been training these people since the 1999 Seattle riots. She specializes in aggressive, quote, direct action tactics. And by the way, the phrase direct action comes from the communist movement, if you want to do some research. She has run training sessions for demonstrators, teaching them how to simulate chaos. And the reason she wants chaos, she says, is because crisis is that edge where change is possible. Bring it all down, girl, eh? Bring it all down, girl, eh? Is that it? Steve, why is George Soros funding these people to the tune of $33 million last year? What is he trying to do? Steve on KBOI Radio, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I think it isn't a matter of currency manipulation. I think it's a matter of commodity manipulation. I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Soros was long commodities, gold, silver, oil. And there's no better way to have investors run to those commodities when you start creating chaos in society. And I think that's what he's attempting to do.
Interesting theory. We have no, I don't know what his investments are like. He wisely, from his point of view, took his fund private a few years ago so no one could scrutinize his investments. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
So old George Soros and his two sons, wonderful Americans, paying America back for saving Papa from the Holocaust, are doing everything they can to make America a better place. And so they fund communist front groups like this, and you think it's purely out of greed?
Well, certainly. I think there's always, money is always the deciding factor, and I think...
Well, we agree on that. Soros is not in it because he believes in these things. I believe he's in it simply to capitalize on either crashing a currency or, as you say, driving them into commodities. It makes good sense, but we'll never know what he's heavy into or what he's long into because he's now a private company. We don't know if he's long on gold and he wants people to suddenly rush to gold by creating civil unrest, because that's what people do during civil unrest. When I come back, the author of the article disclosing this on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, we're back where we were in the 60s. I wouldn't say we've come full circle, but it's an intergenerational thing. There have always been communists in America, at least in the 1900s and on, who have wanted to destroy America and change it into a socialist Marxist dictatorship. They got very strong in the 1960s, using the Vietnam War as a pretext to create civil discord and hoping to bring America to its knees. And we almost lost the country. They have spawned thousands and thousands of their illegitimate protest children. They're being funded now by a mega billionaire named George Soros. To what end? Where does this end? How does America survive this? Over the weekend, I found an article that I couldn't ignore by Kelly Riddell of the Washington Times, and I was stunned to see the research she had done. She should win a Pulitzer. If there was a legitimate Pulitzer, Kelly would win this. Kelly, welcome to the Savage Nation. What a great piece of work you did where you disclosed how George Soros has funded these protests in order to spur civil action. How long did you work on the story?
Oh, I worked on this story for a few months, and it all started with speaking to some of the cops, actually, in Ferguson and in St. Louis, who said, you know, we're arresting a lot of these same people, and they're not from our area. They're from out of town, and someone should look into this. And so I went through,
So you see Ferguson, Baltimore, Cleveland, Staten Island, and you see the same white communist protesters everywhere?
There's professional protesters now that are getting paid by these social justice groups, like, you know, D. Ray McKesson. He was in Charleston, South Carolina after that mass shooting, trying to rally up those groups. He's back in Ferguson this week, was just arrested last night. Cornel West is another one that you saw him in New York.
Doesn't Cornel West allegedly teach at Harvard?
Oh, yeah, Yes, I mean he's a professor at Princeton University, and he's teaching.
Well, he's such a genius that I guess Princeton and Harvard were vying for his intellect. So in between his teaching duties, he has time to be with the rabble in the gutter.
I mean this is what his curriculum is. It's all about protesting and trying to bring attention to the voters and to the mass public about all of the injustices that society has created against the black man.
Here's what you write. Buses of activists from the Samuel DeWitt Proctor Conference in Chicago, from the Drug Policy Alliance, Make the Road New York, and Equal Justice USA from New York, from Sojourners, the Advancement Project, and Center for Community Change in Washington, and networks from the Gamaliel Foundation are all funded in part by George Soros?
Yes.
And they're all in Ferguson?
And they all went to Ferguson. And you see a lot of these same groups that also went to Baltimore and go to all these different places. I found, basically, by putting this network together, there's dozens and dozens of small organizations, and that in 1 year's time span, just in 1 year, George Soros dedicated $33 million to these groups, some of them getting hundreds of thousands of dollars a year so they can keep staff and they can keep this issue going and kind of brand it as a movement, as not just a moment, as a movement, which has become all of their kind of slogan along with, you know, Black Lives Matter and that hashtag and promoting that in the media. He owns some of the media. You see him having his own Race Forward. The Center for Racial Justice Innovation has their own kind of web pages and newsletters that they...
Kelly, you're an investigative journalist of the kind we need in America. We try to speculate on this radio program in this hour why Soros is funding this. What does he hope to achieve by creating civil discord? He is a money changer and a speculator. Have you done any research on what his investments are and how they might be related to his so-called social justice inclinations?
Well, I mean, he wants to produce social discord, and he wants to basically stimulate what he feels that by bringing these issues to light and making sure that they are, you know, at the forefront in the news media, that will spur, you know, action at the voting polls. And he believes that the Democrats are the ones that are the best on these issues and need to be voted into elected office. So he's hoping that through these movements he'll spur these groups and motivate these people who typically, you know, in electorates haven't come out to vote, maybe with Barack Obama being the exception, to kind of push the Democrat Party further. And he states that.
So he's simply, you think, doing this for the Democrat Party?
I think he's doing it because he believes in a lot of these causes. And this is something that he believes the society is unjust and that there's been a lot of
a society that rescued him from the Holocaust is unjust.
I mean, he believes that there's a lot of social policy, like drug policy.
A society that has permitted him and his sons to be billionaires is unjust.
You know, he wants to legalize marijuana. That's part of his platform because he believes it, you know, leads to a lot of incarceration of young black men that otherwise shouldn't be in the, you know, incarceration system.
Well, that's a separate topic which we can discuss. Decriminalizing drugs is certainly a big issue, but there's more to it. Don't you think he might be making money on this in investments?
That's something that, you know, I've looked into and I can't. We haven't been able to track that, but...
Let me give you a lead. Remember George Soros converted his holdings from a public company to a private company about 2 or 3 years ago?
Yes.
Okay, there was a reason for it, and the reason may be what we're discussing. But since we can't penetrate whether he's invested in gold, silver, oil, or which currencies he's gone long on or short on, we don't know. But we find out that he gave $5 million to Ferguson and Staten Island grassroots efforts last year to further police reform. What is police reform? What would he mean by police reform?
Well, police reform is basically not having a police force. They believe in that some neighborhoods are over-policed, and as a result of that, more young black men are arrested and thrown in jail, and that this needs to stop. And the solution.
So the solution to ISIS would be no U.S. or any of the military stopping them, and the solution to street criminals is to have no police to control them from burning, looting, raping, and murdering. That's the answer?
I mean, that's when you talk to a lot of these groups, that seems to be what it comes down to, is that they're treated unfairly, they're over-policed, people are, they're looking for a reason. But then I look, well, you talk to the police departments, right, and they're like, well, we only police the area that have high crime. You know, these are high crime areas, and we're trying to, you know.
Well, look, this is a cancer in Ferguson right now, and it's threatening to spread into the suburbs of St. Louis. People know this. The whole city of St. Louis could be in lockdown unless this cancer being funded by George Soros is contained, and the firemen happen to be the police. So these idiots want the firemen to leave the neighborhood so that the fire can spread, the so-called prairie fire of communism can jump the river and go right into downtown St. Louis?
You know, they look at the police and they, you know, the over-militarization of them and what...
Yeah, well, listen, there's only one solution to civil unrest of this nature when they're chanting, we are ready for war, we're ready for war, we're ready for war. The only solution to that is to stop them before they get even crazier. And I fear a civil war if they are not stopped. You and I both suspect that this hands-off policy is coming from the Obama White House. In your opinion, is there any connection to the federal government?
Well, we know that President Barack Obama's task force, his policing task force that he has compiled, is basically consists of everyone from these Soros-backed organizations. We know that, you know, the president himself got his start as a community organizer with the Gamma Mill Network that is funded by Soros. There is a lot of, you know, the three women who did the Black Lives Matter, one works at the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights, which has got a huge connection to, that's Van Jones's, that's his organization, founded organization. He was an Obama appointee there for a period of time before his radical ways were exposed. So yes, there's a lot of connection back to the White House. A lot of it's direct, some of it's indirect, but it's all through these community organizing groups that the president got his start in.
You write that representatives of a group called Sojourners, a national evangelical Christian organization, committed to, quote, faith in action for social justice, attended the protests this weekend, and that the group received $150,000 from Soros in 2011. You also report clergy representatives from the Samuel DeWitt Proctor Conference, where the Reverend Jeremiah Wright serves as a trustee, also showed up. Now, Wright was Obama's pastor in Chicago, who was famous for his racially hateful sermons, including the phrase, "Goddamn America." They received $250,000 from the despicable George Soros in 2011. What is this all about? Where do they want this to go?
Well, I think that they want it to go where it is heading. And you see places, you know, when you see something like what happened in Charleston, South Carolina, when there was no protesting, when there was hands uniting, I mean, I feel like the press almost was disappointed at that, and these organizations were almost disappointed at that. They want what's happening in Ferguson right now. They want rioting. They want this to be on the news, the nightly news, every single night until they get what they want out of these issues.
What do they want? What do these anti-American street radicals want? No police in the streets of America?
That's part of it. Yeah, they want.
No police in the streets of America. No U.S. military. What else do they want? Tell me where it ends. You know, and I know, that most of these people are professional agitators and they're crazy. Most of them are straight out nuts. And without the police and the military, we're gone. We're finished as a nation. I don't know if we have 2 years left with the community organizer in the White House. What can the average person do other than to avoid these neighborhoods? There's nothing else you can do.
Your heart has to go out to the people who live in Ferguson and live in, you know, the St. Louis area, as well as whenever something, you know, whenever a crime happens, whenever there is something in the media, whenever you see a headline of a cop shooting an unarmed black man, for whatever the circumstances, whatever happened, these organizations will go to that city and will try to stir up a protest. And you just feel bad for these cities and
I feel bad for anyone trapped inside that city of Ferguson right now. They basically are held hostage by George Soros's puppets. I don't know what they're going to do. Can they get food and water in and out of their houses? With the rabble there, they're liable to go and set stores on fire again like they did in Baltimore. Anyway, look, we can go on and on about this. Your article is the best on this subject. Let me again reiterate who we're speaking with on the Savage Nation. Kelly Riddell, Washington Times. George Soros funds Ferguson protests, hopes to spur civil action. Incredible article, Kelly. You are a true journalist. I don't know what to say other than thank you for being a journalist.
Well, thank you for having me on the show and alerting more people to it, because the more you know about the networks, the more you know about where the money comes from, really the scarier things seem.
Well, with journalists like you, America just might survive. The time is, if you can believe it or not, 47 minutes after the hour. Savage will be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So you wonder, I'm going to move on from Ferguson, but before I leave it, I got to play the chief community organizer, the man behind all the riots, because he happens to be in the White House now. He's gone from the streets, from the gutters, right into the Oval Office. So since it's worked for him, why shouldn't it work for these other radicals? Listen to clips 1 and 2 on the Savage Nation.
I think it's fair to say that if in my first term, Ferguson had flared up, as President of the United States, I would have been commenting on what was happening in Ferguson. Here's one thing I will say. Is that I feel a great urgency to get as much done as possible. And there's no doubt that after over 6.5 years on this job, I probably have an easier time juggling a lot of different issues. And it may be that my passions show a little bit more. Just because I've been around this track now for a while.
What is he talking about? What exactly did he just say? What did the great dissembler just say? Does anyone understand what he just said? He's more excited than ever. He's got a lot to do, and he's in Martha's Vineyard with the billionaires that he bashed out of the other side of his mouth just the other day. He's down with the people of Ferguson, but he's in Martha's Vineyard eating an ice cream cone with all the hedge fund operators and the other people who drive America's economy. It's unbelievable to me how he gets away with it. But then again, that's an old story. We've covered it. There's a lot of other news. I'm glad that you listened and you learned something today, which is that despite what the media would have you believe, these are not spontaneous protests. They are being funded. They are being supported by big money. I guess there should be a new name for them. What? Big civil rights now goes along with big government. Lenny Bruce called it Religion Incorporated. What should we call it? Civil Unrest Incorporated? Civil Unrest Incorporated. Should we call it Soros Inc.? What a book that would be. Any writers out there? Steal this idea. Soros Inc. What a blockbuster that would be. But don't bother. Don't bother. It's a huge chapter in Government Zero coming out in October from Hachette by Michael Savage. Yeah, steal this idea. Go ahead, make my day. The question is, can America survive another 2 years of this revolutionary in the White House? I don't know. It's been said that revolutions are started by smart people. And he's very smart. But I want to remind you of something. They're always finished by smarter people. Uh-huh. Really? Finished by smarter people. Shall I say stopped by smarter people like Donald Trump? Is that what this is all about? The Bring It All Down Girl Brigade is threatened by a man who is so nakedly American and overtly a capitalist and proud of himself, a man who has brought pride back to America, Donald Trump. Is that why they hate him so much? Because he's upsetting the agenda of the radicals in the gutters?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Devil is loose. The devil is loose in the streets. We learned in the first hour who is funding the devils. George Soros funds Ferguson protests in his hopes to spur civil action. Well, we know where that leads. There's a lot more going on in the world, and we're going to move on from Ferguson to other topics. Let's go to michaelsavage.com and see what I found to be of intrigue to me and put it on my website, my little website that can. Oh, here we go. The Marxist Pope brands rejection of illegal aliens an act of war. Now, remember, he was a... this Argentinian was a bouncer in his youth. Isn't it interesting how he went from being a bouncer to a holy man? Now he's trying to stir up a communist revolution around the world. Your Pope brands rejection of illegal aliens an act of war. Really? What is he trying to do, him and Soros? I would think that Soros will soon be invited to the Vatican. He might even be given communion. Soros might be invited to the Vatican and be given an audience with the Holy Man. They're speaking from the same page. In a speech on the island of Lampedusa in southern Italy, the Marxist Pope called on Euro powers to do more to help the illegal immigrants that have been arriving on the island. Now, they're mainly Middle Easterners fleeing civil war. Syrian refugees from Kobani now flooding into Italy. Just what Italy needed is Syrian refugees and African refugees. That's just what Italy needed because they have full employment in Italy. The streets are in good repair. The trains run on time. And that's what's going on. The British government has also been criticized for its handling of the illegal alien crisis in Calais because the illegals are now jumping on trains and threatening truck drivers traveling through the Eurotunnel, saying, take us to your country or else we'll kill you. Africans are seen running on the shuttle tracks after they succeeded to jump over the fences and avoid the French patrols on the outskirts of Calais. Yeah, he's right, actually, in a certain way, but he has it backwards. The Pope says that if you reject the illegal aliens as an act of war, I would say the illegal aliens are committing an act of war against the First World. And if we had legitimate central governments in Western nations, they would be turned back at the borders. End of story. He says, this is war, this is violence, it's called murder. That's your Pope. That's your Pope coming to agitate like a community organizer instead of a Pope in a very short period of time here in America. Unbelievable to me. That's your Pope. Smiling, nice old man, isn't he? Isn't that cute how he smiles, little hat on, nice little rim glasses? He looks so angelic, doesn't he? The former bouncer. I look at one of the mullahs from Iran who calls death to America, death to the Jews, kick the Jews in out of the nation, kick them out of Israel, kick them out of the Middle East. And I look at him, he looks like a simple, nice old religious man with white hair, which, you know, doesn't look like a tough guy or a villain, but it just shows you how looks can be deceiving. You always thought that when fascism returned, it would be behind a militancy, a verbal visual militancy. No, it doesn't always work that way. They got very smart. The communists got very smart. Well, here's an answer, Mr. Pope. I think all of the asylees that are flooding into Italy should be rounded up by the Italian police and brought to the Vatican, into the Vatican City. And then they should name it a nation. And Vatican City can become a new nation filled with Syrians and Africans. That's what I think. As I've said before, and I put my money where my mouth is, the church could sell their treasure troves of gold, artwork, property, stop drinking the Dom, stop eating caviar behind the curtains, and give up the hypocrisy And I believe that then people might believe a word that this bouncer, disguised as a pope, has to say. And I'm going to make an offer right now on this radio show for one of the artworks, because I want the money that I'm about to offer for the Sistine Chapel ceiling. If it's accepted by the Pope's handlers, I will hope that the money I'm about to offer for the Sistine Chapel ceiling, and by the way, I'll pay for the transportation to a location of my choosing. I'm willing to offer $1 million for the Sistine Chapel ceiling if the Vatican will accept it and guarantee to give the money to the poor, directly to the poor, no middlemen, by creating a sanctuary city in the Vatican. I think the Vatican City should become a sanctuary city. I think they should let anyone go in there, and then they should care for them. And I'm willing to make that offer right now to help it, give some of the money away. This is like World War Z. What's going on is World War Z. Hordes of third worlders running over the borders of first world nations that are beautiful. I mean, look at the nation we live in, how beautiful it is. Have you looked around at this country and how beautiful it is? I sometimes scratch my head with the hatred towards the white man, and I say to myself, look at this paradise that was built by the hateful white man. Look at the buildings, look at the roads, look at the airplanes, look at the skyways, wherever you turn. This is the zenith of civilization. So much for so many. And that you have these losers on the bottom who claim that they're on the bottom because of their race. Well, how come there's a man of color in the White House? How come there's a woman of color in the number one legal office in the United States of America? How did that happen if it's such a racist nation? This is the most tolerant, beautiful nation the world has ever seen. And I got to tell you something about the Trump campaign. It's having an effect on me. It's funny how it happened over the last few weeks. Do you know that I'm actually standing up for my success, where in the past I would have hidden it? I have been forced to hide all the books I've written and all the success I've achieved as an immigrant son. But because of Trump, I've started to state it with little, let's say little interchanges with Lilliputians that I have once in a while by accident, whether it be a loser neighbor, a retired old man who's done nothing in his life, who thinks he can take a pot shot at me because I happen to be riding my bicycle nearby. I will stop the bicycle and proudly proclaim, I've written 29 books. Have you written anything I would know about? Usually they run away in their dirty sweatpants. I'm proud of what I've achieved, but I've worked for everything I have. So Trump has given me the ability to be proud of myself. And if every person in America who has done anything good, whether you be a postman, a milkman, an apple cider man, you could be a champion for America's borders, language, and culture by standing up for what you do every day and not letting these rabble in the gutter, these communist gutter rats, make you feel embarrassed for the nation that we live in. This is the greatest nation in the world. And we do need a man like Donald Trump to make it great again. And I would like to see Bernie Sanders versus Donald Trump would be the greatest competition in history. And once and for all, we would see how many socialists there really are in America. He's drawing big crowds, but that doesn't mean much. What does it mean to draw 100,000 or 17,000? The little commie from Brooklyn who pulled the wool over the eyes of the people in Vermont. What does it mean when you add it up? If you had a clear choice between a naked socialist like Bernie Sanders and a proud capitalist like Donald Trump, 75-25, 85-15 Trump. And I'm not Jimmy the Greek. I'm Michael Savage. Be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON. We're talking about a worldwide communist revolution that's occurring right in front of our eyes. They picked Barack Obama. They picked the Pope, the first non-European Pope in 1,200 years, who has a history of being a socialist communist his whole life. Now there's Bernie Sanders, who was a member of the Young People's Socialist League, the youth affiliate of the Socialist Party of America, a man who was active in the so-called civil rights movement, He worked for the SNCC. He has been a lifetime radical left-wing agitator, meaning a commie, and he's attracting large crowds of idiots. The media loves Bernie Sanders because they're one and the same. They think the same way as he does. They're all jealous creatures by and large, and they don't like the country they live in for reasons I can only describe as suffering a mental illness. I love America. What don't you like about America? Tell me what you don't like about this country. You don't like the roads. You don't like the hospitals. You don't like the... What don't you like about it? What do all you losers hate so much? And if you hate America so much, why don't you go to a better place? Why don't you go to one of your socialist paradises? Why don't you emigrate to Cuba? Why don't you emigrate to a country that is socialist or communist? What do you hate about America so much? So we have to play for you something that's kind of ironically beautiful, which is the communist Bernie Sanders being knocked off the stage by a group of black radical lesbian women who wouldn't let him speak. It's a bit, I mean, this is called, that's social justice for me. You know, what goes around comes around, Bernie. Listen to this carefully.
Thank you, Seattle, for being one of the most progressive cities in the United States of America.
We want an opportunity to address. We want an opportunity on the mic.
Well, ask him.
Get him in check and we're shutting this event down. Now, if you do not listen to her, your event will be shut down right
now. You hear? You hear what the loudmouths are saying? You hear? You hear the loudmouth commie girl?
We are going to
let you hear the
you
big mouth?
The mic.
Okay.
All right. So we are trying to be reasonable. We are trying to be reasonable. We are trying to be reasonable.
We are reasonable.
You hear the hysterical street rats?
We're going to let you on the mic. We are going to give you the mic.
You hear?
We will. After Senator Sanders.
You hear the hysteria?
After Senator Sanders. All right.
Let her speak.
All right.
Let her speak.
All right. We're shutting it down. You are shutting it down. You are disrupting this event. You are disrupting
Thank you,
this
girls.
Event.
We
are
shutting. Thank you, girls. Good. So the black radical girls, the hysterics, you're screaming, we're going to shut it down, did America a service. They shut the hot air down for a few, for one rally in the most progressive city in America. Bernie Sanders, commie. Never thought he'd get this far. But this is ironically beautiful. Who shut him down? The very people he's pandering to. They took over. They said, oh, no, we want the mic, Bernie. You're just an old white male. We want the microphone. They really came to hear us. So this is ironic. It's beautiful. All I could say is, go, girls, go. Keep jumping on those stages and shut down your progressive buddy. Let him see what he is fostering in this nation. Let him see the kind of city and country he's going to create if he gets any further from his socialist roots. No, it's beautiful to listen to. There is a kind of justice in it, don't you think? WABC David, on the Bernie Sanders question. Go ahead, please.
What scares me about Bernie Sanders is the amount of young people he's attracting. And I feel like maybe 20, 30 years down the line, when all these old conservatives die out, all these bimbo socialist kids are going to start voting for socialist candidates. And that's exactly what the socialist communist regime wants, is a slow revolution change.
Yeah, or how'd that work out in South America? How's it worked out where there's one salami hanging in a grocery store? Wait until all these loudmouths can't buy a loaf of vegan bread.
These idiots expect...
Yeah, wait until the morons can't get any drinking water coming out of the tap. Well, who are they going to blame then? Richard Nixon? Ronald Reagan? Who are they going to blame when their policies are put in place? Don't you understand progressives can't run anything correctly? Take a look at any liberal city in America and tell me they're running right. Look what de Blasio has done to New York City, which had been pulled out of the gutter by Giuliani and by Bloomberg. Take a look at what this de Blasio has done to New York City.
These young progressives don't see that.
Take a look at what progressives have done to San Francisco. The roads are broken. You need a four-wheel drive truck to drive down Van Ness Avenue. The approach to the Golden Gate Bridge is something that you would not see in a third world cesspool. That's what the progressives have done. They've siphoned all the money off from the highway funds. They rob all of the tax money in order to feather their own nests. That's what socialist progressives are known for, which is thievery, plain old thievery. And so I'm not worried about it. Anyway, there's an adage that will apply to put you, your fears to rest. What do you call a socialist with two children? A Republican. What do you call, well, you get how it goes. If you don't have a heart at 20, and right, what do you call that person? A socialist. And if you don't have a mind at 40, what do you call the person? A socialist. I mean, there's no way of explaining this to you. They're getting away with this because we have an economy that takes care of them. Because we have people who have stolen billions of dollars by manipulating currencies, by manipulating stocks, who are funding this rabble. And you have to ask yourself, why does the left want the rabble in the streets? I've explained this to you before. Why, for example, is an illiterate rabble-rouser like, what's his name? The guy in the dirty sweatsuit who went on the Jenny Craig on MSNBC? Al Sharpton. Why does an illiterate rabble-rouser like Al Sharpton continue to have a podium on MSNBC where he can hardly get through a teleprompter session? Why? Because the powers that be would rather he be trapped, actually imprisoned, at MSNBC studios where they know where he is than outside their doors with a rent-a-mob. See, if you give him whatever they give him a year, I don't know, $150,000 a year, $100 a year, I don't know what they pay him. Let's say they pay him in a couple of sweatsuits and a haircut once in a while and $30,000 a year. Isn't it cheaper than having him outside with 1,000 people bust in outside the offices of the parent company that owns MSNBC? For example, Microsoft, MSNBC. Why does MS keep funding all of this stuff?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, and we're all trying to stop the coming civil war together, are we not? We're all trying to stand up to Government Zero together, are we not? And so, at first hour, we talked about how George Soros has funded these Ferguson protests to the tune of $33 million to these communist front groups. And it's pretty sickening to realize what this is all about, tearing the country apart. So let's go to michaelsavage.com and look at some of the good news. There is good news. Here's a good one. SAS sniper kills ISIS executioner before he can behead an 8-year-old boy. Yay. Washington Free Beacon. Score one for the good guys. SAS sniper kills ISIS executioner before he can behead an 8-year-old boy. A British sniper from the elite SAS saved an 8-year-old boy and his father from an Islamic State executioner by shooting the executioner in the head last month. The SAS sniper team was reportedly tipped off to the execution in the Syrian desert by an Iraqi spy. When they arrived, they found that several Shia Muslims had already been beheaded by their captors. The IS, commonly referred to as ISIS executioner, flanked on both sides by armed companions, was preparing to kill a young boy and his father next when the SAS team deployed its 50 cal silent sniper rifle. The ISIS thug who was about to decapitate the father was shot in the head and collapsed. An unarmed source told the Daily Star. Everyone just stared in confusion. The SAS sniper then dispatched the two henchmen with single shots. Bing, bing, bing. Three kills with three bullets. The young boy and his father were last spotted heading to the Turkish border as the Syrian town they were evacuating celebrated the killing of the IS fighters. It was a good day's work, the source told the paper. Now, ISIS is killing Christians by the busload, burning churches, etc. They're on a rampage, and Obama's doing nothing. Nothing, next to nothing. And I read a story over the weekend that confirmed my suspicions as to why. It's not that Obama's doing nothing. It's exactly what I feared. a defense analyst, a very keen one. I think he was one of the top guys in the previous administration who has been paid to do intelligence on these murderous thug throwbacks, wrote a long article. I can't find it right now. And he said that ISIS is actually an army of the West, that Obama and possibly Israel have covertly supported ISIS in order to overthrow Assad and do the dirty work for them in getting rid of Assad. Now, I don't know what the thinking is here. Assad is a certifiable bad man, just as Saddam Hussein was a certifiable bad man, just as Muhammad Gaddafi was a very bad man. Look what happened in Libya after we got rid of the strong man who knew how to keep the mad lunatic fringes in their place. He warned the world before we killed him. Remember Hillary said, we came, we saw, he died, he. He begged the West, he said, don't kill me because what will happen is Libya will descend into chaos. It will start to look like Somalia. That's exactly what Hillary Clinton has wrought in Libya. Look what happened in Iraq after Bush killed Saddam Hussein and his sons. Are you telling me it's a safer place in Iraq right now? It's not a safer place. It's a greater Iran, as I warned you, might emerge. So now the same morons who gave us the chaos in Libya and the chaos in Iraq are going to give it to us in Syria? What is the sense of killing Assad? What do you think is going to happen? There'll be a bloodbath along the lines of the Holocaust against Christians if Assad is killed. Could that be what the government zero wants? I doubt it. Okay, so that's a headline. There's more to the headline than meets the eyes. Now, if the story is true, and I hope it is, that the elite sniper did knock this guy off and the other two henchmen, why aren't they doing more of it? Why are U.S. warplanes not bombing ISIS around the clock, wiping them off the planet? Chinese read emails of top U.S. officials. Michael Savage newsletter. It's clear now that Megyn Kelly is working for the other side. From I am Caitlin to I am Megyn, how Fox News went over to the Dems. You know, that was a good show I did Friday. It got a lot of play. Newsmax published the article, and I was very happy with that piece because I broke new ground. But you needed a literary background in reading, where I discuss Megyn Kelly attacking the GOP, a possible corporate link, and the portrait of Dorian Gray. Unfortunately, most people who listen to the show are functional illiterates, and they don't even know who Dorian Gray is. They were not required to read it. Instead, they read Jenny Has Two Mommies. I got to say this about Megyn Kelly, since I kind of stumbled on it. You know that she actually went to bat for me on Fox News when I was banned in Britain and attacked by the Muslim front group, CAIR? Do you know that she's the only one in the media who actually ran a fair and balanced program about what they were trying to do to me? I look back to 09 on that one. It was hard to believe. I don't know what's happened to her. And then what about that loudmouth, Eric Erickson, with the so-called red state shindig, who banned Trump? What is in the world? Does this guy have any idea what he just did to his own career on radio? Who would ever have him on as a fill-in except dropouts from Air America? You hear? Anyway, that was a pretty good piece. And I think that war is over. But if you want to hear my piece from last week on the Dorian Gray thing, you can find it on many sites still. It's even on my own. So it's a new picture of me, by the way, with a new hat and a new jacket, new shirt for my new book. I am Caitlin to I am Megyn, how Fox News went over to the Dems. Let's see. From running with Wolf of Wall Street to homeless. That's a good story. Horrible. Here's another one in case you missed it. White House staffer arrested after shooting at boyfriend with his own gun. Really? I'm shocked. Here's another one that didn't make it to your local rag. Lesbians torch own home in hate crime hoax. Oh, yeah. You're shocked? Knoxville News Sentinel. A federal jury in a lawsuit has concluded that two lesbians torched their own home in a hate crime hoax. Really? Shocking. And speaking of lesbians, here's another story for those of you who are interested in these things. Yes means yes policy coming under fire from judges. Saw that the other day in Fox News. Cody Daraspina covered it, and she wrote this, or he wrote this. Judges across the country are saying no to the yes means yes standard of affirmative consent for date rape. the legality of the standard adopted on California and New York campuses by state legislatures and an effect on numerous other colleges throughout the country is now in question following a series of recent rulings that cite a lack of due process. You hear this? Under the standard pushed forward by radical feminists who have taken over universities across America, the accused, usually a male, has to prove he obtained consent, even if neither party remembers what happened. The standard forces the accused to prove his innocence rather than be proven guilty. Proponents of the Yes Mean Yes law claim it's a necessary step to combat so-called sexual assaults, which some fake studies suggest occur at a high frequency on campuses. But guess what happened? If you can believe it, judges in California, Tennessee, and Virginia says this feminist pushed law goes too far. Examples. A student expelled from the University of California, San Diego, had an unfair hearing, according to Superior Court Judge Joel M. Pressman. The John Doe accused in the case said he was unable to cross-examine his accuser and other witnesses. See what they've become under these fair-minded feminists, these campuses? Communist cesspools where fascism reigns. Mr. Pressman also said he was forced to submit questions to a hearing panel in advance, and many of his questions were then rejected by the fascist lesbian feminist panel. Pressman agreed this was a violation of his due process rights. Here's another one. A student found guilty of sexual misconduct by the University of Tennessee because he couldn't prove he obtained verbal consent in sex, by the way, had his verdict overturned by a court judge on August 4. A student expelled from Washington and Lee University for alleged sexual misconduct will be allowed to continue with his gender bias lawsuit against the school. U.S. District Judge Norman Moon ruled on August 8. You see, in the lawsuit, a Title IX officer, you know what that means, don't you? Think Mao Tse-Tung's communist blue-coated mobs. A Title IX officer, communist plant, at the school is quoted during a presentation she gave to the woman who later accused John Doe. The communist Title IX officer is alleged to have said, quote, regret equals rape. Can you believe this? So the girl had consensual sex with this guy. The next day she woke up and she regretted it. And this lesbian feminist Title IX officer said, regret equals rape. Then she say, and wait, it gets even better, and quote, the officer then went on to state her belief that this point was a new idea everyone, including herself, is starting to agree with, close quote. This is how fascism grows in a country. Shortly thereafter, an allegation of misconduct was launched against John Doe. The Title IX officer played a significant role in the communist investigation. A right to due process at state universities may seem like a novel concept to these communist fascists. But, are you ready for this? Ready for this? The Fourth Amendment protection was never intended to apply solely to the court system. Listen to this. Quote, the Constitution trumps everything else, he said. So no matter what the Department of Education or the Department of Justice suggest, regardless of what a state's statute provides or what the university decides, the Constitution trumps it all, close quote. We read on. It's very important you hear all of this because these fascists have taken over the colleges and they're going after males by making up new rules, which when they come to courts, support the boys, not the girls, with their false rape accusations. The Supreme Court somewhat settled the due process question in its 1976 Matthews versus Eldridge decision, a case cited by Chancellor Carol L. McCoy in the University of Tennessee decision. Here is what McCoy wrote. The fundamental requirement of due process is the opportunity to be heard at a meaningful time and in a meaningful manner, McCoy wrote. Due process is flexible and calls for such procedural protections as the particular situation demands. What does that all mean? Well, here's what it means. It means that the fascists who have taken over the universities and have conducted a war on men are now running for cover. What else it means is that the University of Tennessee announced on Monday of this week that it would implement a new sexual misconduct policy to take effect on August 19th. What are the changes? They involve an easy-to-read, mandatory reporting chart and making prohibited contact front and center in training manuals. Nothing about expanded due process, though, is noted. But that could change, however. The so-called American Bar Association on August 4th adopted three resolutions focusing on campus assaults and gender-based violence. And some of the new language includes, quote, assuring that the rights of those accused of such acts are recognized. Did you hear that? You know, in communist countries, the accused never has a chance to question those accusing him. That's what the Nazi fascists are doing on colleges. They've turned colleges into little Nazi concentration accusation camps. J'accuse, you're guilty. Can I defend myself? No, it means you're more guilty. You're guilty no matter what you say, you're guilty. We have ruled! You are guilty. So not only do we learn today that universities can be sued by those accused of assaults whose due process rights may have been violated, but administrators can also be sued and possibly held individually liable. Isn't that wonderful to think that all of these smart university girls and boys who have moved up and to become administrators through threatening people with fake lawsuits, gender bias lawsuits, affirmative action lawsuits, they finally hit a stone wall called the United States Constitution. Isn't it wonderful to discover that after all is said and done, these little people, these Lilliputians, have hit a stone wall called the Constitution? Guess they'll have to go back and figure out a new way to run an end run around the Constitution and castigate any male in sight. When I come back, more stories from MichaelSavage.com right here on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Many topics. The Communist Pope, Bernie Sanders, the lifetime communist, the war on men on campuses, the war on Assad by the United States using ISIS as a factotum, fundamentally Hessian army, I don't know how else to put it. You know, when I see the atrocities being committed by ISIS, I gasp, like all of us, setting people on fire while they're alive. I can't go down the list because they get us all sick. The other day they put grenades, undetonated grenades in the ground and made people kneel down. And then they detonated the grenades as their heads were over the holes. It's beyond belief that humans have descended to this level, I think to myself. And I say, wait a minute, not so fast. I'm a student of history, and I look back on what the Imperial Japanese Army did in World War II. You know that ISIS is doing very similar things to prisoners? You don't believe that this occurred. In fact, the Japanese in World War II went steps farther than ISIS. It's a very hard thing to imagine what I'm about to tell you, but check it out and see if I'm inventing it. We're talking about Imperial Japan in World War II, a far different nation than the Japan of today. I want to make that very clear. I've been to Japan. I've enjoyed my visits. I like the Japanese people that I have met. But during World War II, the Imperial Japanese Army did things to people that make ISIS look like amateurs. Do you know that they had an entire unit, I think it was called 571, that they set up in Manchuria, where they conducted medical experiments on living prisoners, Chinese, British and American soldiers who had been captured. They tied them to beds and conducted vivisection while they were alive. The Japanese did that. Look about it. There was a medical unit, with medical doctors who were experimenting on live human beings, doing things that you could never imagine would be done from one man, a human, to another human. The inhumanity to man that we are witnessing as conducted by ISIS right now was superseded by that of the Japanese in World War II. And it didn't end very well for the Japanese, did it? Little Boy and Fat Man put an end to it. And many of us are praying for a president who will use total power to annihilate the scourge from the planet that is currently threatening the entire civilized world like a black plague.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Summer at the Savage Nation, almost mid-August, can you believe it? And so the Trump-Kelly feud has died down, as it should. And with all of this screaming about Ferguson and protests and how bad America is, we forget that a plague is now engulfing the world, the plague of ISIS, the plague of radical Islam, a plague unlike anything we have seen since Adolf Hitler's Nazi party emerged on the planet in the late 1920s and early 1930s, but a plague it is. And rarely do you hear any of the Soros-funded protesters talking about the beheading, setting people alive, kidnapping women, raping eight-year-old girls, blowing their heads, whatever. Doesn't enter their minds. Instead, it's about the white policemen in America. And so, as a student of history, I'm appalled by it, as you are. You know, here we are, the kindest, gentlest nation on the planet. I know you find that shocking, but this is the kindest, gentlest nation on the planet being overrun by the third world. Take a look at how we treat pets in this country compared with how pets are treated in the world from which many of these invaders come from. Take a look at it. Compare it to how animals are treated in some of these nations. And then ask yourself, how is this happening in front of our eyes? How do we permit people to do this to other human beings without the world getting crazy and saying, we're going to send our armies in and take them off the planet. We must stop the disease. Why are we not stopping it? So I search my mind, and in my readings of history, I find out that in World War II, and I remember doing this in the early 90s when a book on Unit 731 came out. It must have been, I was before I was a national host in the year 2000 on KSFO, maybe 1998, 1997. I was appalled to find out that the Unit 731 had existed in the Japanese Imperial Army, where they conducted experiments on live human beings that go beyond what ISIS is doing. So I said to myself, how can such a civilized nation as Japan have done that? How? Well, I'll let you figure it out, but here's the thing about horror shows like this. Unless they are stopped early on, they metastasize into something far worse. So unless ISIS is stopped real soon, they're going to get worse and worse. They're going to escalate their madness. Now, there's a website called Unit 731, General Facts. And here's what they write. Most of us have heard about the horrible experiments on humans of the Nazis done by Dr. Mengele. But the Nazis weren't alone in conducting cruel experiments on humans. One of the lesser-known atrocities of the 20th century was committed by the Imperial Japanese Army's Unit 731. This webpage was set up to collect and organize the information known to date about Unit 731. And for 40 years, the horrific activities of Unit 731 remained one of the most closely guarded secrets of World War II. It was not until 1984 that Japan acknowledged what it had long denied. Vile experiments on humans conducted by the unit in preparation for germ warfare. Deliberately infected with plague, anthrax, cholera, and other pathogens, an estimated 3,000 of enemy soldiers and civilians were used as guinea pigs. Some of the more horrific experiments included vivisection without anesthesia and pressure chambers to see how much a human could take before his eyes popped out. This was done by the Japanese in World War II. Unit 731 was set up in 1938 in Japanese-occupied China with the aim of developing biological weapons. It also operated a secret research and experimental school in central Tokyo. Its head was Lieutenant Shiro Ishii. The unit was supported by Japanese universities and medical schools, which supplied doctors and research staff. They have pictures, by the way. According to reports never officially admitted by the Japanese authorities, the unit used thousands of Chinese and other Asian civilians and wartime prisoners as human guinea pigs to breed and develop killer diseases. I don't want to read more about it. I want you to know about it, though. Now, what is my point of bringing up such a horror as Unit 731, where man could do this to other men? It's to show you that man's inhumanity to man has been around since the beginning of time. And only a civilizing force can control such horrendous activities. More specifically, the civilizing influence of Christianity in the world to stop this. I don't even want to use the word barbarism, but it's an effective word for right now. There are other words that supersede barbarism. And as I said to you before, the Japanese were only stopped by a fat boy and I don't know the name of the other bomb. They were not going to stop. We're not celebrating the innocent civilians who were maimed and killed. What we are saying is when horrors like this metastasize and they are fanatical and will not ever surrender, there's only one way to end it. And that's the same end that will come to ISIS. That's my prediction. And I'm not a crystal ball reader. One day we will get a president who is not using ISIS as a factotum terror army. One day that president, and it could even be a Democrat, will finally take the U.S. military to task for not having done more. Well, they can't do any more because the president is the commander-in-chief. And they will give the U.S. military orders to take them off the planet. And they will do so. That's what I predict. How they will do it? Will they use nuclear weapons? I doubt it. I don't think they have to. I don't think they need to use nuclear weapons. They can use cluster bombs, bunker buster bombs. They can use Tomahawk missiles. They can annihilate them in less than a week. And yet they don't do it. Now, you know, well, what does this have to do with anything today? I don't really know. What does it have to do with today? I don't know. It has anything to do with today. I'm just talking about a situation that was worse than what ISIS is doing right now. And it was done during World War II by the Japanese military. Okay? It's a little, you know, away from the normal fare of Kaley and Trump and Schmump. And I don't know, the candidates, did they really say anything about ISIS? Did Fox bring that up during the debates? What would you do to stop this plague that is threatening all of the world? I don't know, I didn't hear that. It was all about the war on women and other such very important issues. 855-400-728. We also talked about the war on men on campuses being conducted by the radical feminists who have taken over the university's lock, stock, and barrel. Ari, WABC, you're calling on that issue. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm a first-time caller, but a few years listening. As a college student, I wanted to say, in much less New York City, which has gone to hell under Bill de Blasio, that white men, or men in general, are being put, I think, under more tight scrutiny in these false rape cases. I read about it when it happened to Duke. These poor kids who were in Duke got accused of falsely raping somebody, or it was all made up. I read about it like months ago.
Well, hold on, slow down. The Duke lacrosse case. I am the only radio talk show host, the only one who right from the outset within one day supported the Duke lacrosse team. And I called that accuser what she was. I knew who she was. I had researched her. I supported the Duke lacrosse team from the get-go. And I turned out to be right. And all of these false rape cases on the college campuses are being generated for political reasons.
I appreciate that completely. And I also wanted to go further, saying that I don't want to like interrupt what you're talking about, but I, as a college student, the only person I would vote for is Trump. I'm just sick and tired of the way things are in our
I know, but you know, I want to get off the Trump-Kelly thing. I don't want to go there again. You know, I'd rather get away from who's going to win in 2016. I can't do it. It's just overplayed. I'd like to move on. And that's why I talked about the war on men being conducted by the feminist-controlled colleges. Okay?
Dr. Savage.
Thank you for listening and thank you for calling. And I do mean that. There's actually a bigger story that has no real way to talk about it, the China currency revaluation. The reevaluation of the Chinese currency is a major story that's very hard to describe. They lowered they depreciated the value of their currency. It has completely upset the stock markets around the world. That's because China is in trouble. Headline: China's devaluation of yuan jolts global markets. You hear? China's devaluation of yuan jolts global markets. China devalued its tightly controlled currency on Tuesday, following a slump in trade, triggering yuan's biggest one-day decline in a decade. That's a big story, but it's extremely hard to describe to an American audience that's not really, they're not mini Soroses. Oil and metals also fell sharply. Demand for haven assets pushed down bond yields in the U.S. and Europe. What does all of that mean? Truthfully, I don't know. I don't even know what a haven asset is. Robert, you ever heard of the word haven asset? Haven asset. The only haven asset I have is my pillow. And demand for haven assets were pushed down. I hope the value of my pillow has not dropped in the last 2 days, because I wouldn't give it up for anything in the world. In fact, when I travel, I take my pillow with me. It's a crazy story, but I do. You know, I fill up my suitcase with a few items, shoes and a pillow, and I'm finished. Between toiletries, shoes, and a pillow, that's about my travel bag. Like next week, I'm going to New York for the week. I'll broadcast from WABC for a few days. I'm taking the pillow and a toothbrush and shoes. That's the end of the suitcase. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Yeah. It is the Savage Nation. It is the Savage Nation. I warned you and stopped the coming Civil War. What they were up to, all of the race mongers. I warned you that there was money behind the protesters. I warned you that the money is why the protesters work and why they have no jobs other than to agitate and burn things. And I believe our good friend Georgie is in there. I'm not so sure. I'm checking the index right now. There he is, old George Soros, right at the top of the Southern Poverty Law Center, right above the state U.S. Department of. Yeah, it is. Southern Poverty Law Center, George Soros, all in. And right, that's just below Solyndra in Stop the Coming Civil War. Things like this don't happen in a vacuum. 855-407-282. Let's go to KVOR Radio. Monty, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thanks, sir, for taking my call. For over a decade, my brother, who is a Vietnam veteran, has been telling me about what it is. He says, if this takes place, the feminization of America, he says, I told you so. It has taken place under Mr. Obama. And he says, this is the beginning of the end in his analysis.
But what do you mean? We know what the feminization of America means. I've written about it and spoken about it for many years. It did not start with Obama, but it may just end with Obama. What is the end result of the feminization of America? What is it that the radical femmes want?
Well, it's all about power over the people. And
right. It's female supremacy. Now, what's ironic about this female supremacist movement is the fact that ISIS probably treats women worse than any other organization on the planet, and yet the female supremacists in America rarely, if ever, even notice what they are doing to women and girls.
This is something I can't understand.
And also, why does America continue to import Muslims by the tens or hundreds of thousands? Muslims, by the way, not from advanced countries, not from advanced Muslim societies such as Jordan, but from rather primitive Muslim societies where women are treated worse than second-class citizens. How is that going to work out for the feminist supremacists in the long run? Not very well. Not very well indeed. Now, the other issue that we were talking about was Bernie Sanders being booed off the stage by the Black Lives Matter crowd, screaming and yelling and get him off. I thought that was ironic, and I think it's wonderful. I personally hope that Bernie Sanders is the candidate instead of Hillary, and I hope that it's a blowout shootout between a clear choice between socialism and capitalism, between freedom and slavery, between a real government and government zero. Because if it's Trump versus Sanders, it's an 85-15 or a 90-10. Not a 7. I'm going to change my odds. It's not Trump wins 75-25 or Trump wins 85-15. It's Trump wins, I would say, 90-10. Nobody would vote for Sanders who works for a living. Nobody. Except government employees who don't really work for a living. And university professors on tenure who don't work for a living. Of course they would vote for a tenured individual like him. He's a tenured professor who suddenly got a microphone. That's all. Now they're screaming. Los Angeles, 27,000 people. Huge responses from the nurses' union. And the Democrats are caught flat-footed. No debates. Nothing. Not a debate from the Democrat Party. Why is that? Why is the Democrat Party having no debates? Why they don't have a candidate, a field of candidates? Why is it only Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders? What kind of party is that? You know, for all the deficits of the Republican Party, and there are many, you've got to admit at least it's a vigorous debate going on. And at least we're going to have a choice between, well, we won't have much of a choice. It's all closed. See, it's a closed session. This whole thing of how they picked someone out of the bunch, you think it's a popular vote. It isn't. You got with the balloons and the hats and the crazy feeding frenzy in these caucuses. I never paid attention to any of this, even as a child, a young man. These are party apparatchiks. They go crazy for these things. They live for these events in these hotels once a year, and then they vote on the candidates. Do they really reflect what the people want? I don't think so. If a popular vote were held today, it's Trump 92, Hillary 0, with 8 points for all of the rest of them. Maybe 1% for Hillary. Excuse me, maybe 1% for Karl Marx as a write-in candidate. Add another 1% for Mao Zedong from the radical left. Add another percent for Joseph Stalin. So it would be Trump 89, Hillary 2, and the rest spread out amongst the dictatorships that have plagued the earth. All right, I've had my fun on this hour and this hour and a half on the Savage Nation. And remember the big story thus far. These protests in Ferguson, which are getting violent, where the radicals are screaming, we want war, we want war. If you think that they're spontaneous, you've got another guest coming. It's being funded by a billionaire. All of the front groups, the communist groups. Check it out. I had the guest on from the Washington Times, and she disclosed in great detail how the refugee George Soros has created these armies of the left to undermine America. For what reasons, we can only guess. Right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, you get the picture. The street rabble are trying to burn the city down like they did in Baltimore. And we disclosed in the Savage Nation from an article in Washington Times that the street rats are not spontaneous. They're funded by George Soros through numerous communist front groups who want to bring America to its knees. And what's disgusting about this is how the media continues to report as if this guy Brown, who was killed, was innocent and just shot by a white officer. You see two juries, and the Federal Justice Department found Officer Wilson innocent, not guilty of any crime. And yet President Obama, Eric Holder, Al Sharpton, and other rabble-rousers falsely built up the hands-up, don't-shoot movement and made it into a national uprising. They have provoked racism. They have provoked division in this nation. I think the protesters should be marking this anniversary by apologizing to the businesses they looted and burned last year, and apologizing to all the people that they hurt last year, many of which were owned by black people, by the way. And another point, the Oath Keepers who are in the streets to try and keep order are not anti-government. They're former military, law enforcement, first responders, and civilians who have the guts, because the police have been neutralized by the communist left in and out of the White House. Oath Keepers do not wish any harm to our government. They do not preach insurrection. They're not chanting, we're ready for war, we're ready for war, we're ready for war. Oath Keepers are law-abiding American citizens. They're American heroes. Unbelievable to me. I would believe that Martin Luther King Jr. and other true civil rights leaders would be rolling over in their graves when they see how their movements have been hijacked by people like this. The news article says protesters mark the one-year anniversary of the killing of an unarmed black teen by police. Shame. I would say shame on Reuters, but I've come to expect nothing less from the far left in the media. They twist everything to match their own agenda. The fact of the matter is, this is a nightmare. And there was an article about this last year by Aaron Klein, where he proved that the top Occupy organizer was the one who trained the Ferguson protesters. The veteran street agitator, Lisa Fithian, did this. She has been training these people since the 1999 Seattle riots. She specializes in aggressive, quote, direct action tactics. And by the way, the phrase direct action comes from the communist movement, if you want to do some research. She has run training sessions for demonstrators, teaching them how to simulate chaos. And the reason she wants chaos, she says, is because crisis is that edge where change is possible. Bring it all down, girl, eh? Bring it all down, girl, eh? Is that it? And if you think the Ferguson protests, where they're calling for civil war, wanting to kill white cops, is happening spontaneously, you are mistaken, my friend. So here's the question of the day. What is Soros' motivation for stirring up all this unrest, not only in Ferguson, but all over the country, and frankly, all over the world? What does he hope to gain? Well, let's speculate, and it's pure speculation. We don't know what a billionaire, trillionaire like him thinks, so we can only guess. Why would a man who allegedly survived the Holocaust and is welcomed into the United States of America as an immigrant, where he makes his fortune, why would he do this to the country? What would he hope to gain by causing unrest, by funding Ferguson protests, where they're now chanting, we're ready for war, we're ready for war, we're ready for war? What would he gain? Well, unless he's insane, you have to think he's doing this for a reason. And for a man like Soros, it's always money. He's a businessman, pure and simple, and a left-wing social activist. But those are usually sister beliefs or functions. Never forget for 1 minute that most people who are social activists are in it for the money. Never forget that. Whether it's the vermin in the streets who are protesting or collecting a check from the rich liberal billionaires, that's their pay. Their pay is to protest. Remember we used to call them rent-a-mob? It's always about the money. So since we can assume that Soros is funding $33 million in a year for these protests in Ferguson, he wants to make some money off it. So as I speak about this, there's only one conclusion I can come to, and perhaps my reasoning is faulty. Maybe I can't think as clearly as some of the social activists in Ferguson. But my logic would lead me to believe that since he's a money trader who almost broke the British pound by shorting it, he also did it to the Malaysian pound, provoking the first outburst of anti-Semitism in Malaysia's modern history by almost breaking the Malaysian currency, that he wants to destroy the United States currency because he shorted it and he's betting against it. That would be one theory. Again, it's only a theory. After all, I have no power. I have only my ability to ask, analyze, and give you my opinions. Since that's still legal in Obama's America, I'll give you my opinion. He wants to debase the American dollar, either because he shorted the American dollar in a big way, or because he went long on another currency that's now collapsing. And the only way he can bring down the American dollar is by causing social unrest. If you do that, why, the dollar collapses, doesn't it? If you have a revolution or a civil war, it's bad for the currency. And who benefits? Why, the very same people who've benefited from most revolutions. I have evidence, not just hearsay evidence. We have hard evidence that George Soros has funded the Ferguson protests, hoping to spur civil action. The article by Kelly Riddell of the Washington Times, when I tell you how much money this money trader, George Soros, has pumped into the gutters of Ferguson to make sure the city burns, you'll be shocked that the federal government has not stopped in to stop him. Well, you won't be shocked to realize that the federal government and George Soros are frankly one and the same. And she writes this. There's a solitary man at the financial center of the Ferguson protest movement. No, it's not victim Michael Brown or Officer Darren Wilson. It's not even the Reverend. Reverend. Al Sharpton. No, it's liberal billionaire George Soros, who has built a business empire that dominates across the ocean in Europe while forging a political machine powered by nonprofit organizations that impacts American politics and policy, not unlike what Soros did with MoveOn.org. Mr. Soros spurred the Ferguson protest movement through years of funding and mobilizing groups across the U.S., according to interviews she did with key players and financial records reviewed by the Washington Times. Now, here's a shocker for those of you who think that these protests are just by oppressed minorities and concerned progressives. No, my friends, it's much worse than that. In all, George Soros gave at least $33 million in 1 year. 1 year, 33 mil, to support already established groups that embolden the grassroots on-the-ground activists in Ferguson, according to the most recent tax filing of his so-called nonprofit Open Society Foundations. I can read on, but you can read on. George Soros funds the Ferguson protests, hopes to spur civil action. No strings attached. No strings attached. So you wonder, I'm going to move on from Ferguson, but before I leave it, I got to play the chief community organizer, the man behind all the riots, because he happens to be in the White House now. He's gone from the streets, from the gutters, right into the Oval Office. So since it's worked for him, why shouldn't it work for these other radicals? Listen to clips 1 and 2 on the Savage Nation.
I think it's fair to say that if in my first term, Ferguson had flared up. As President of the United States, I would have been commenting on what was happening in Ferguson. Here's one thing I will say, is that I feel a great urgency to get as much done as possible. And there's no doubt that after over 6.5 years on this job, I probably have an easier time juggling a lot of different issues. And it may be that my passions show a little bit more, just because I've been around this track now for a while.
What is he talking about? What exactly did he just say? What did the great assembler just say? Does anyone understand what he just said? He's more excited than ever. He's got a lot to do, and he's in Martha's Vineyard with the billionaires that he bashed out of the other side of his mouth just the other day. He's down with the people of Ferguson, but he's in Martha's Vineyard eating an ice cream cone with all the hedge fund operators and the other people who drive America's economy. It's unbelievable to me how he gets away with it. But then again, that's an old story. We've covered it. There's a lot of other news. I'm glad that you listened and you learned something today, which is that despite what the media would have you believe, these are not spontaneous protests. They are being funded. They are being supported by big money. I guess there should be a new name for them. What, big civil rights now? Goes along with big government. Lenny Bruce called it Religion Incorporated. What should we call it? Civil Unrest Incorporated? Civil Unrest Incorporated. Should we call it Soros Inc.? What a book that would be. Any writers out there? Steal this idea. Soros Inc. What a blockbuster that would be. But don't bother. Don't bother. It's a huge chapter in Government Zero coming out in October from Hachette by Michael Savage. Yeah, steal this idea. Go ahead. Make my day. The question is, can America survive another 2 years of this revolutionary in the White House? I don't know. It's been said that revolutions are started by smart people. And he's very smart. But I want to remind you of something. They're always finished by smarter people. Uh-huh. Really? Finished by smarter people. Shall I say stopped by smarter people like Donald Trump? Is that what this is all about? The Bring It All Down Girl Brigade is threatened by a man who is so nakedly American and overtly a capitalist and proud of himself. A man who has brought pride back to America, Donald Trump. Is that why they hate him so much? Because he's upsetting the agenda of the radicals in the gutters? There's a side story. Heavily armed Oath Keepers are in Ferguson. They've arrived with their own weapons and body armor to defend persons and property from the rabble in the gutters. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Funding the devils. George Soros funds Ferguson protests in his hopes to spur civil action. Well, we know where that leads. There's a lot more going on in the world, and we're going to move on from Ferguson to other topics. Let's go to michaelsavage.com and see what I found to be of intrigue to me and put it on my website, my little website that can. Oh, here we go. The Marxist Pope brands rejection of illegal aliens an act of war. Now, remember, he was a this Argentinian was a bouncer in his youth. Isn't it interesting how he went from being a bouncer to a holy man? Now he's trying to stir up a communist revolution around the world. Your Pope brands rejection of illegal aliens an act of war. Really? What is he trying to do, him and Soros? I would think that Soros will soon be invited to the Vatican. He might even be given communion. Soros might be invited to the Vatican and be given an audience with the Holy Man. They're speaking from the same page. In a speech on the island of Lampedusa in southern Italy, the Marxist Pope called on Euro powers to do more to help the illegal immigrants that have been arriving on the island. Now, they're mainly Middle Easterners fleeing civil war. Syrian refugees from Kobani now flooding into Italy. Just what Italy needed is Syrian refugees and African refugees. That's just what Italy needed because they have full employment in Italy. The streets are in good repair. The trains run on time. And that's what's going on. The British government has also been criticized for its handling of the illegal alien crisis in Calais because the illegals are now jumping on trains and threatening truck drivers traveling through the Eurotunnel, saying, take us to your country or else we'll kill you. Africans are seen running on the shuttle tracks after they succeeded to jump over the fences and avoid the French patrols on the outskirts of Calais. Yeah, he's right, actually, in a certain way, but he has it backwards. The Pope says that if you reject the illegal aliens as an act of war, I would say the illegal aliens are committing an act of war against the First World. And if we had a legitimate, if we had legitimate central governments in Western nations, they would be turned back at the borders. End of story. He says, this is war, this is violence, it's called murder. That's your Pope. That's your Pope coming to agitate like a community organizer instead of a Pope. In a very short period of time here in America. Unbelievable to me. That's your Pope. Smiling nice old man, isn't he? Isn't that cute how he smiles, little hat on, nice little rim glasses? He looks so angelic, doesn't he? The former bouncer. I look at one of the mullahs from Iran who calls death to America, death to the Jews, kick the Jews in out of the nation, kick them out of Israel, kick them out of the Middle East. And I look at him, he looks like a simple, nice old religious man with white hair, which... you know, doesn't look like a tough guy, but it just shows you how looks can be deceiving. You always thought that when fascism returned, it would be behind a militancy, a visual, a verbal visual militancy. No, it doesn't always work that way. They got very smart. The communists got very smart. Well, here's an answer, Mr. Pope. I think all of the asylees that are flooding into Italy should be rounded up by the Italian police and brought to the Vatican. Into the Vatican City. And then they should name it a nation. And Vatican City can become a new nation filled with Syrians and Africans. That's what I think. As I've said before, and I put my money where my mouth is, the church could sell their treasure troves of gold, artwork, property, stop drinking the Dom, stop eating caviar behind the curtains, and give up the hypocrisy. And I believe that then people might believe a word that this bouncer, disguised as a pope, has to say. And I'm going to make an offer right now on this radio show. I'm willing to offer $1 million for the Sistine Chapel ceiling, if the Vatican will accept it and guarantee to give the money to the poor, directly to the poor, no middlemen, by creating a sanctuary city in the Vatican. I think the Vatican City should become a sanctuary city. I think they should let anyone go in there, and then they should care for them.